Good morning. I see some of you got the memo about wearing purple today. Oh, boy. Well, it is good to have you here. Welcome to Peninsula Evangelical Friends Church. We are excited. I'm excited. I hope you are, to be able to come and worship the Lord together. You remember that movie, The Rookie, about a baseball player? He was a teacher and coach, and in his 30s, if I remember right, and his kids kept saying, "Man, you can pitch so hard, you should try out for the pros." And he finally did, and he got stuck in the minor leagues, and after several months of playing every day in the minor leagues, he was pretty discouraged. And then I can't remember what the event was that changed his perspective, but he came into the locker room the next day and he said, "Boys, we get to play baseball today." And that's kind of the way it is as we gather to worship. We get to come before the Lord to worship Him together today. We ought to be worshiping Him privately, separately, every day. But today we get to gather. Father in heaven, as we gather together today, I pray that you would just anoint our hearts and our minds so that we might be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, because we know that is the kind of worshipers that you are seeking. And so, Lord, make us so today. Thank you for being able to come together. May the joy of seeing each other face to face, of listening to your word, of sharing in each other's griefs and needs and burdens, and in sharing in each other's joys, pray that you would strengthen us as we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we read... We skipped ahead in our reading in John a little bit and went to the immediate events of the evening and the arrest and the trials and the crucifixion, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his initial appearances to his disciples. We did that. My first idea was that we weren't going to quite get to the Easter part of the story on Easter, so that's why I skipped ahead. And then as I was looking at it, I realized that was actually a really good plan. So maybe I shouldn't throw my back out trying to pat myself on the back, because it sure wasn't for me. What I got excited about as I was thinking about how do I recover from that was that there are some things that happen just prior to that last prayer with his disciples and things there, and just after the events of the resurrection and his appearances, that sometimes we fail to tie together because we don't read them together. We read the prelude and then we read the postlude with the main theme in between, and sometimes we forget the impact of the resolving in the postlude of some of the troubling events that happened in the prelude. And so I thought, what a great opportunity for us to put those two things together today. So I want to start reading in John chapter 11. We'll read through chapter 16 and then we'll skip ahead to chapter 21. And I want you to think for just a minute before I start reading, what in the world could that title be referring to? I have told you. Now I'll show you. What could that be referring to? That He is God. That He's the Son of God. Both true. Resurrection, yes, also true. how to live. Now we're starting to hone in on what my thinking is, at least, as I prepare for this. Which words? Yeah, we're starting to get right there. Let me help you out now. We've kind of narrowed it down. Remember, he says at one point, a new command I give to you. Not a new command, but it is a new command, that you love one another as I have loved you. During this stretch that we're going to be reading, remember, he's going to be preparing them for his death, and they just don't grasp what he's talking about. And so as they're getting close, remember, he took off his shoes, and he picked up a towel, and he wrapped himself with it, and he went and washed their feet. He said, this is how you want to love one another. And through the four Gospels, we pick up the whole of the story that he's telling them, in my kingdom, being great comes through making yourself a servant of all. Being the one that people look up to comes through being one whom people look down at. You catch the significance of that? To be looked up to. We look up to those who are great. We look up to those that we admire, that we want to follow, that we want to emulate. Who are the ones that we look down at? Servants. Whether they be the homeless, whether they be the ones who are paid the minimum wage because the job is an entry-level job, or whether they be the ones who are expected to serve everybody else and whom everybody else expects to be served by. They say in the spy novels, the easiest way to hide is to become invisible by being somebody that everybody else just assumes should be there, but they don't pay attention to. The postman, the doorman, the waiter, the busboy, the secretary, the one who's there just to do what needs to be done so that I can enjoy life and get on with my life. And we just overlook them. And Jesus in here is saying, you want to be great in my kingdom? Learn to be that one that lowers himself or herself enough that most of the people are going to look past you and not even see you because you're there to serve them. Not because they're greater than you or lesser than you. And not because you are greater than them or lesser than them. A couple of days ago, Darlene was telling me about feeling uncertain about a role that she had to play in her job. And being reminded that that role was not who she was. It was what she did. And that her identity being in Jesus meant that she could play whatever role and be thought of by everybody else in whatever capacity they wanted to think her of because she knew who she was in Jesus Christ. What a great reminder. Jesus, when he took on the towel and got the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, became no less God than he had been a moment prior. As I have told you, now I'll show you. One of the hardest places for that to happen is when somebody has wronged us and offended us. And the closer to us the offender is, the greater the offense that is felt. somebody might turn their back on us, but there's somebody we hardly know, and they look at us and they turn away and do something else, and it's just like water off our back. We don't even pay any attention to it. But when it's somebody that we love and we're talking to them and they turn their back on us, same thing, same event, but we're hurt. The hurt is much greater. Remember Peter? Oh, these others may abandon you, but I would never deny you, Lord. Really? Peter, I tell you the truth, that before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And then after his third denial, when he's cursing and saying, I don't know the man. Just as an aside, have you ever noticed that each rooster has its own crow? But the cock crowed. Did crow? Not sure of the language there, but it did. And remember what his feeling was? Bitter hurt. Now, notice something. Judas, when he realized what was going to happen to Jesus, felt the same bitter hurt. He had denied Christ and betrayed him. And Peter, when he betrayed Christ, he felt that sorrow that Judas had felt. Remember Paul talking about there's two kinds of sorrow. There's one kind that when we experience it, it is a godly sorrow and it leads us to repentance. And the other kind leads to death. And Judas, his sorrow led him to give up his life, to take his own life. Peter's sorrow led him to the point of saying, oh, Lord. And I can just imagine him for the next several days there, just crying out in his heart, oh, Lord, what have I done? How could I have denied Jesus? How could I have denied the Lord? Oh, Lord, is there some way that I can make up for? Lord, I want to be forgiven, but I don't deserve to be forgiven. And I can just imagine the agony that he's going through, so that when Mary comes and says, the tomb is empty, they've taken his body, of course he gets up and runs. But even then, he's still not sure what his relationship to Jesus is, because he still doesn't believe that Jesus rose. And then when Jesus appears to them in the upper room, and he believes, and he's so happy. But do you remember that feeling when you've seen somebody you haven't seen for a long time, and you're just so happy to see him? And then after that initial happiness, you remember, oh my goodness, I really hurt their feelings. And so there's that uncertainty of, okay, I'm happy they're here, but am I still on speaking terms with them? And when we look and see Jesus come to Peter at the end of this passage we'll read, we get to see him put his compassion into action. We get to see him put that role of the leader into action by becoming the lowest servant and absorbing the offense. Let's look together to John chapter 11. Lord, as we come to this reading of your word, it's kind of smack us right between the eyes as we see and hear what you said to the disciples and see and hear how they responded, and then how you responded to them. Lord, let us, when we have know we have offended you, let us come before you with that godly sorrow, trusting that your steadfast love and your steadfast mercies, your tender, loving care for us is new every morning. John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was Mary who had anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of the sleep. And the disciples then said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, so that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary, to Martha, to console them concerning their brother. And Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. And Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit, and he was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?" So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. And then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him, let him go." Therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees, they convened a council and were saying, "What are we doing? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people, so that the whole nation not perish." Now he did not say this on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they planned together how to kill him. Therefore Jesus no longer continued to walk publicly among the Jews, but went away from there to the country near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim. And there he stayed with the disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. So they were seeking for Jesus and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? That he will come? That he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was to report it so that they might seize him. Chapter 12. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason also the people went and met him, because they had heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you're not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. These then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and they began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again." The crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. And others were saying, "An angel spoke to him." And Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. The crowd then answered him, "We have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke, and then he went away and he hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. And this was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them." These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory, and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. And Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." Chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, and having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. And then he poured water into the basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter, and Simon said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." And Peter said to him, "Never, never shall you wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part of me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. And so for this reason he had said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I did. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled, 'He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me.' From now on, I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me." The disciples began looking at one another, at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said, "Tell us, who is he speaking of?" He, leaning back thus on Jesus' bosom, said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus then answered, That is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him. But when he had dipped the morsel, he took it and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After the morsel, Satan then entered into Judas. Therefore Jesus said to him, What you do, do quickly. Now no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were supposing that because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, Buy the things we have need of for the feast, or else maybe that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. Therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I am saying to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. Chapter 14. Jesus continued, Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father, abiding in me, does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe of the works themselves. Truly, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper so that he may be with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You have heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up. Let's go from here. Chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated me, and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16. I have spoken these things to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. These things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. But these things I have spoken to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All the things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again a little while, and you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, what is this thing he's telling us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me. And because I go to the Father? And so they were saying, what is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he's talking about. Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and so he said to them, are you deliberating together about this that I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, and she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. In that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I've spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. And his disciples said, Lo, now you are speaking plainly and are not using a figure of speech. Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. And Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And then as we read last week in chapter 17, and he prays for his disciples, and he prays not only for his disciples, but he also prays for all of us who will believe in him because of their testimony. And then we see Judas' betrayal, his trials, and we see the testing. Remember, the Passover lamb had to be perfect. And Pilate, in his trial before Pilate, said, I find no sin in him. I find no guilt in him. And then he's put to death as the perfect Passover lamb. He's buried by his friends. They knew where to run back to when they heard the tomb was empty. The Pharisees knew where the tomb was. They sent a Roman guard unit to guard the tomb. And on that first day of the week, when they came to the tomb again, it was empty and the guards were gone. And the angels were there and testified to them, Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And then John, in chapter 20, verse 30, it said, Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these that I have written have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John recorded Jesus appearing to his disciples and confirming to them that yes, he was made of flesh and bone. It was not a spirit. It was not a hallucination. It was not an apparition. It was Jesus who had risen from the dead and stood in their midst. And now for chapter 21. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, that is, the Sea of Galilee. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, We also will come with you. And so they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. So Jesus called to them and said, Children, you do not have any fish, do you? And they answered him, No. And so he said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch. So they cast. And then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It's the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 100 yards away or so, dragging a net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and a fish placed on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although they were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come now and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my lambs." And Jesus said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And so Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also leaned on his back on his bosom at the supper. And he said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Therefore this saying went out among the brethren, that that disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies, who is testifying to those things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. There is that godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And we can see Jesus' care for Peter in that he gave him three opportunities to affirm his love for Jesus. Just 3 or 4 days before, he'd blown it. And now Jesus gives him those opportunities to reaffirm, to reveal what was in his heart. "Jesus, you know my heart. You know that I love you." We see Jesus' compassion. We see his servanthood. We see him caring enough for his disciples to say to them, "Bad times are coming. And when they get here, remember that I told you about them beforehand. didn't want you to be caught by surprise. I want you to know what's coming. And then one of my favorite ones. Time is coming when I won't speak to you in figurative language anymore, but I will speak to you plainly. And when you put that together with when he comes, the comforter, the helper, when he comes, he's going to remind you of everything that I have said. And you'll be able to remember it and record it for us. Father in heaven, thank you so much for Jesus' love for us. We are so grateful. Lord, when those opportunities come, when we are called upon to testify of our love for you, I pray that what is in our hearts would come forth, and that it would come forth with, "You know that I love my Lord Jesus." In his name that we pray. Amen. I love this last sentence. If we put John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 together with John chapter 21, verse 25, we read the following. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. God has given us enough to believe. And through that belief has given us the fulfillment of what John started to write. The light which coming into the world enlightens every man was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born by the will of God. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to be born through Jesus' work entering our lives, redeeming us, giving us the faith to believe, making us children of our Father in heaven. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.